This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
You know what's nice is I know the Mets are not going to be anywhere near Nobservations today, Rick.
Hopefully never again, Dave.
Right?
Hopefully never again.
They may be retired from ever entering Nobservations. That's the possibility that we are.
That's
at
the
right
hope.
Now.
That's putting
the hope,
a lot on it, though, Dave.
Yeah, that sometimes it takes a second.
I don't know.
When you have that level of dysfunction, it's still in your system.
I don't know. I think they flipped the switch.
You got a detox. You know, during the detox, there could be a lapse. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you think there's going to be, like, illness?
I don't know. There will be a baseball story in Observations today.
Oh, good. I like the baseball. All right, so a lot to get into with the NFL here, and that'll lead us into the Dan Graziano conversation at 10:30. I want to hear from Bill Belichick. We'll do that in, like, 3 minutes. Unbelievable.
Yeah, laugh, because it's funny.
Well, it is funny.
It is funny.
If it was the Giants, please, you'd be playing on a loop around your home. So, yes,
my
we're going to play.
My team's 0-9, Dave. My team, you need to pile on. Come on, please.
Is there really any piling on? Your team is 0-9.
This feels like piling on. Yeah.
I didn't say it.
Yeah, Bill said it, but you're highlighting it.
Well, I think it's an important quote from one of the great coaches in the history of football.
Ridiculous. The fact that he didn't have to say it like that and he chose to say it like that says everything you need to know about the organization.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But, Chris, I wanted to touch on this first. NFL is making real contingency plans if, in fact, they can't finish this regular season. Talking about, I think it's 8 teams from each conference, right, going into the postseason, which would mean, you know, it stinks. I understand that the one seed would no longer get this bye. But, I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen, but they're taking the real steps that this could happen.
Well, I think it's important that they put that in place, right? At least have an alternative if you can't satisfy the full regular season slate by just tacking on a week 18. If that's not a possibility, if you have more games to make up than just that 1 week would take care of, then, yeah, you have to figure that you have to have an alternative. And going to a 16-team playoff, even though it's not ideal that half the teams in the NFL would make the playoffs, I think that's what you have to do in the interest of fairness. In the interest of trying to have the integrity of in the integrity of competition, it makes all the sense in the world to do that. And plus, you get to have more markets involved in the postseason. And we already know how postseason revenue goes with the NFL owners because you get the players at a controllable cost. So for a lot of different reasons, it makes sense that this would be the contingency plan if you can't get all the regular season games in.
It's in the interest of money. I mean, let's be honest. This isn't because of the integrity of the game or fairness. It's because you're going to have 2 extra playoff games to offer somebody.
Without having to pay for it.
Is that not what this is about? Hey, is that not what this is about? It's exactly what this is about. I don't see it any other way. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it would. I mean, if that's how they want to play it off, but this is, I mean, if you lose games, that means you lose money. So how do you make up for that lost money? Add a couple more playoff games.
Without paying for it.
Exactly. Makes sense.
All profit.
And then whoever you decide to sell those games to, whoever's going to show those games. I mean, listen, if a regular season game, if each regular season game was worth, what, $24 million, we said, was the number, what do you think 2 playoff games are going to go for?
Combined, I'd say $75 to $100 million.
Yeah, so, I mean, there you go. And to Chris's point, I mean, that all that stuff makes sense, and that's great. I mean, the fact that, you know, all these, you know, have more markets involved and everything else, that's good. But it comes down to money. That's what it's all about.
It's what it's always about with them.
Can I ask you a question? I were to ask you, who tweeted this? Sometimes this business just, I mean, it's like, I just got to get out of this business because I don't have this in me. If this is what it takes, I don't have it in me. Who do you think tweeted this? Why Tom Brady has had a better year than Pat Mahomes?
How could you even tweet something like that and have any credibility?
Well, how could you, with a straight face, like, actually try to defend that point on television?
And so so this is a big star, or someone desperate to be a big star?
Huge star.
Huge. Makes on our network?
No, makes tons and tons of money.
Tons. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so I mean, Skip.
Oh yeah.
But that's what he does.
I give him credit, man. I just don't have it in me. I couldn't even tweet that and take myself serious.
But that's what he does. His entire repertoire is, let me say, the most ridiculous, outlandish things, and people will freak out over them, and then I get notoriety.
It's amazing to me. I couldn't do it. I would have a, like, I could write that. I couldn't send that out. I couldn't put my name on that.
He says that LeBron's title is illegitimate this year.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he says wild, crazy stuff just for argument's sake.
Maybe that's what it takes. Maybe we're doing this thing the wrong way.
Maybe you want to make a wild take? You want to say Daniel Jones been better than Patrick Mahomes this year?
relax. Not that wild. Not that wild.
Tom Brady better than Patrick Mahomes this year is insane.
Insane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You want to hear? We got to play it. I don't know how to lead into it without you getting upset.
Just play it. Just rip the Band-Aid off. Just play it. I've heard.
All right. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Here's Bill Belichick, WEEI, and you take a listen for yourself about him leaving the Jets years ago.
One of the not only most defining, but one of the great moments of my career. And that combined with Robert giving me the opportunity to come here, I mean, I couldn't have asked for anything more. So it's just, that wasn't a good situation for me, and I didn't want to be part of it, so I wasn't. But the other half of that was Robert giving me the opportunity to come here and trading. I mean, he gave up, you know, quite a bit to get me to come here. That was a big trade. And so I'm very thankful that it worked out.
How disrespectful, huh? This guy's won multiple championships, is considered the greatest coach by many in the history of the sport. And he says and that's courtesy of WEEI, by the way, one of the great moments in his career is when he, you know, left the Jets at the altar, so to speak.
Yeah, but doesn't that highlight his greatness, though? To have the self-awareness that this was not going to be a good situation for him?
Yeah, it does, but I don't know. And I'm fun at you. Do you need to say that?
No, you don't have to say it, but I mean,
that seems very unnecessary to me. No,
but Dave, when you watched the Bill and Bill, and he wouldn't even go in the Jets locker room.
You know where I think he wants to take us is the Jets locker room.
He has no interest in it.
Not the Jets locker room.
Parcells neither.
Yeah, but
Bill Belichick was going nowhere near
that. Like they didn't want to go to the Jets locker room, fine. But to sit here and say one of the great moments of your career was leaving the Jets and never coaching.
Dave, because he wouldn't be Bill Belichick if he stayed with the Jets. He wouldn't be the head coach that is considered the best in the modern era. He wouldn't be that guy.
One of the greatest moments in Eli Manning's career.
Was not going to afford him that opportunity.
Eli would never say it, but what do you think one of the greatest moments in Eli's career was?
When he pulled that stunt on the Chargers and decided that he wasn't going to play for them. Didn't matter where else he was going to go, but he wasn't going to be a Charger.
So he's got two championships.
I'm not saying it wasn't a defining moment. Jets fan, I'm annoyed by this from Bill Belichick. I'm sorry.
Of course you're annoyed.
There's no lie in it, though, Dave. Where's the lie?
I'm not saying it's a lie, but why do you need to do that? Why do you need to say that? My team is 0-9. You need to just dig the dagger all the way through?
I mean, it's probably relevant because they just played the team and they beat them in a squeaker on Monday Night Football, a team that was winless. So, yeah, avoiding that embarrassment in losing to the winless Jets at that point, but it probably made him think about, you know what, I dodged another one because they wanted me to be the head coach, and after a day I decided, yeah, I want no parts of it. I don't like the direction that this thing is going from an ownership standpoint, and I'm going to bail and go someplace where I feel like they'll give me the keys and let me do it the way I want to do it. And he was absolutely right because he's won 6 championships and he's played 9 Super Bowls. Is there anybody remotely close in the modern era to that level of success?
No one close.
Yeah.
And you could say what you want about Tom Brady and, you know, who's more responsible. I could make a really strong argument that the reason why Tom Brady is Tom Brady was because of Bill Belichick. Tom Brady would have never been Brady without Bill Belichick.
I think you can.
The 6th-round draft pick turned into the greatest of all time? Come on, man. I mean, that's – when he got to a certain point, you could say, okay, yeah, he was the one making people around him better. But does he ever get to that point without Bill Belichick? Probably not.
No, he does not develop properly as a young quarterback without Bill Belichick as his head coach. Matter of fact, he might not even be a New England Patriot if Bill Belichick wasn't the head coach.
He wasn't great. When he started, if you remember first Super Bowl run.
Dave, he got replaced at Michigan by Drew Henson.
No, but I'm even saying with the Patriots to start, when they won that Super Bowl over the Rams, he was not great. He was a game manager.
He made a couple of nice throws down the stretch in that game. But it was the defense that held the greatest show on turf in check. That was the story of that game.
Yeah, but they won that game 20-17. And they scored a defensive touchdown.
It was 20-17, yeah, something like that.
Look at all the great young quarterbacks, though, Dave. Not the great young ones. Look at all the great quarterbacks now.
Russell Wilson. That is the ben story of Russell Wilson.
Ben Roethlisberger, same thing.
Yeah.
Could he have been worse in that
No.
Super Bowl?
No, he I was could at not that have
game.
Been worse.
That, he was horrendous in that game.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to work. You can't just all of a sudden, I don't care how good the quarterback is, say, hey, you know, make all these guys around you better. That's not,
unless
how, it's,
you're
that's
Pat
not
Mahomes.
How it works.
Unless, yeah, unless you're Pat Mahomes.
And you got, I mean, that's just, Pat Mahomes' situation was the
perfect
situation.
Yeah, that's
situation.
Just different. That's
just
different.
A different situation.
Yeah.
But apparently
yeah,
Tom
just,
Brady
is lights out.
Having a better season somehow.
That's a ridiculous thing to say. Have you heard these rumblings? And Alan Bart Scott is starting
about,
many of these
yeah,
rumblings.
Yeah, but, okay, time out. Before you bring this up, I know Canty was listening. Okay, so Canty was on, he's on every Friday with Bart and Hunt. They mm-hmm. spent yeah.
the man
the
who still
entire,
owes him $5,000, by the way.
Yeah, still owes him $5,000, but he
tell him to bring me my money.
He knows how to handle Canty because he'll say something outrageous and then he'll get Canty going in a different direction so he forgets about the money. But he actually made the argument the entire segment. Remember the Bill Belichick argument?
Oh, yeah, that was argument? Stupid that Bill Belichick is a terrible general manager and he should be fired. He should just be a head coach.
But
it's
then he turned around.
Ridiculous.
But then he turned around today and said that Bill Belichick's going to leave New England and be just a GM somewhere else.
Yeah.
Why do you think he stinks of being a GM and then you want him to be a GM somewhere else?
Don't. It gets to certain points where I can't even engage the conversation. I can't take it seriously. Like I don't. Right, well, I don't know how you separate Bill Belichick, the head coach, from Bill Belichick, the personnel evaluator. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, I think it's all wrapped up into one. I think it's all wrapped up into one. I think it's all wrapped up into one.
Oh, it absolutely is. But, I mean, you want to highlight the misses that Bill Belichick has in his draft record, but every team has misses. You don't want to talk about the guys that he actually got right. Now, you don't want to talk about the Chandler Joneses of the world. We don't want to get into that conversation. Or how about Jimmy Garoppolo out of Eastern Illinois, who took a team to the Super Bowl? That was his succession plan for Tom Brady. That's when things really came off the rails. But, I mean, you know, you ought to talk about all the other guys that he got wrong, like taking N'Keal Harry versus A.J. Brown or D.K. Metcalf. Okay, everybody has those in their record. But what everybody doesn't have is six championships in a span of 20 seasons. Everybody ain't got that. So I don't understand why you want to be critical of Bill Belichick, the general manager. The general manager's job is to get players in order for the head coach to compete.
All right. Apparently, Bart does not like this. And
I
wants to get very heavily involved.
I'm big brother.
Good morning,
I'm always
Bart.
Listening, and I'm always watching. The disrespect. Yes, I know what I said today on my show because I said it, and I know what I said on Friday. But that doesn't mean that it can't be true. The statement that Bill Belichick made when he was talking about the Jets sounds like a swan song, like he's starting to get his exit strategy. We heard him a couple weeks before when he pointed the finger and not the thumb. It looks like he wants to get out. He's 68 years old. How much longer does he want to coach? We all know that general managers have it easy. What did his mentor do? What did your great Bill, you always talk about him all the time. Bill Parcells this, Bill Parcells that. Well, Bill Parcells got tired of the daily grind of being the coach, and he decided to be a general manager because he still wanted to be a part of the game because he's a football guy, but it took a level of stress off of him. So when I say that he would want to come back and be a general manager, the only place in football that's not New England that he would want to do that with is with the New York Football Giants. And guess what? He has one of his proteges, somebody from his coaching tree, that's coaching, so you know that it's going to be synergy because they worked well together before. That's all I was saying. And I still don't believe that he's a great general manager, but that's a job that the Giants would give him if he said that he wanted. If Bill Belichick called up the Tisch family right now and said, I want to be the general manager, I'm going to leave New England, they would say they would welcome him with open arms because we know that the Giants always go to people that they know and they're comfortable with. Same thing with Jason Garrett, the same thing with most of the people that they promote from within. That's all I was saying, fellas. So disrespectful.
Christopher?
I've already had this conversation. I'm not going to get into it.
So you don't think Bill Belichick, he promised Josh McDaniels. He promised Josh McDaniels his world. He didn't say that he can still give him the world, but the world is on fire. But at what point does Josh McDaniels say, hey, man, I turned down a damn job 3 years ago, and you still hanging around, bro. When you going to give me an opportunity? This is the perfect time to sever ties. That's all I'm saying. And y'all can hang up on me, damn it.
Yeah, but I don't think it would be Bart. I don't think it would be to be a GM. And first of all, I mean, Pete Carroll, I mean, he just signed an extension. I mean, he'll coach till he's 75.
Pete Carroll burns more calories chewing gum than Bill Belichick burns in a whole month.
Okay, but
Bill
also,
Belichick's
not
in a great body of health.
Yeah, but what is he's got a Subway endorsement now. Maybe it's going to be
That's great. D.
What is Bill
right
Belichick
there.
Chasing? What is Bill Belichick chasing right now? Canty, why would Bill Belichick stick around to coach? For what reason?
To prove that he can win a championship without Tom Brady.
And also to do what? Catch Don Shula.
Oh, catch Don Shula. With
which
the
he could do.
That's going to happen, though, Rico. That's going to happen. In the next 2 or 3 years, he's going to catch Don Shula.
Yeah, but according to Bart, he's done coaching and he's going to be a GM. Which
he's
going to
be seven,
well, first of all, Bill Parcells didn't
old.
Go down to Miami to become a GM. He was the EVP of football operations. Jeff Ireland was the GM.
Well, when
but
he
yeah,
was
he,
a,
he
was
wanted
a few,
to, he wanted
Dallas,
to be
right?
the czar of the organization. But, I mean, if you don't think a guy is good at evaluating talent, why do you want him at the top of your football ops?
Well, because he considered the same reason that the Knicks gave Phil Jackson opportunity to be the general manager, because you want to bring that championship pedigree and you want to say, hey, well, maybe if he puts 100% of his time and effort in being a general manager, he can be a good general manager, because it's hard to do 100%.
But at the heart of the job is talent evaluation. If you don't think he's a good talent evaluator, then why would you suggest he takes the job?
What I'm saying is he has more time to put time to be able to find and be sure about the talent that he's evaluating. Because he's 100% of the time dedicated to going out to the colleges and figuring out what this player is, what that player is, and not trusting the other guys. He can be big brother. He can go over and overlook everything. When you put 100% in everything, then you can be better than if you put in 50% in being a head coach. 50%
well, he's pretty good. He's pretty
manager.
Good at being able to find players that he can win with. He's played in 9 Super Bowls in 20 years.
Listen, I understand that, but the equalizer was the fact that he had the best quarterback in the world that was willing to be Tim Duncan and able to take less money to make people. Listen, in New England, are players going to go there and say, you know, I'm going to go there and I'm going to take less money because I got an opportunity to be in the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl to put a cherry on top of my career? No. Because they don't have a automatic schedule or automatic reservation with the AFC Championship anymore because Tom Brady isn't there. So now those free agents that you used to get to go there and take less money aren't going to go there and take less money. They'll go there, but you're going to have to pay them their equal compensation.
Yeah, but you're going to have the third most money to spend this offseason.
That's fine. I understand that, but look how many holes they got. If they,
well,
if
what
they
happens, lose,
they're going to get rid of Gilmore. Detroit? They try to trade Gilmore. They try to. Okay. What happens if Detroit? We've been saying that for a while now. What happens if Matthew Stafford decides he wants out?
If, but I'm sure that if anyone would have a plan as to what the next step is it Jimmy Garoppolo coming back? I'm sure Bill Belichick has an idea of. And it, to,
listen,
to
San Francisco
Jack-
would hand
to
if use, Jimmy G to, back to
but
to,
Bart to use Phil Jackson as the example is an awful example.
Why? That was a great. He was a great coach. He was a great
was
coach to try to be a general manager.
It was
but horrendous
it was an awful
as
failure.
A GM, though. Huh? The laughing stock of the NBA. Bart, he fell asleep when he was watching guys work out.
Yeah, and if Bill is sitting there up in the booth eating Subway and eating all that bread, he gonna fall asleep too.
Boy, you're fun. Hey, I would say we could wager on it, but I don't know that would turn out for you.
Okay,
well.
Yeah, I heard y'all been doing that too. Listen, we've been in the middle of a pandemic. Chris Canty gonna get his money. I never got paid for my bet 5 years ago. So you
no, don't tell that lie. Don't tell that lie on air. I donated to your foundation. Don't start that now.
Oh, no, no, no.
But that wasn't the original bet.
That wasn't the original bet. The original bet was the Friday night.
And I asked you to cut me some slack on the original bet.
And you said, donate
to my foundation. And I said, okay. So it ain't like I ain't pay off the bet.
No. See, the foundation thing was something totally different.
Stop, man. You're doing more backpedaling in a corner than a cup three, man. Stop it. Cut it out, man. Tell the truth, bro.
No. The charity stuff was a year ago.
No, Bart, don't make me start pulling out tax records from the Chris Canty Foundation because we talked about it.
You're gonna see a lot of purchases from Bart Scott.
Bart.
That's what you do. You pull those receipts out. You're gonna see Bart Scott all over the place. But you're gonna get your money. Quit trying to tarnish my good name, man.
Well, Bart, I mean, listen.
I love you like a play cousin.
You
know I love you like a play cousin.
See, you know what? You do that thing where you over talking, man. This ain't a presidential debate, bro. Let me finish talking. When I talk, be quiet, and then you can talk again.
Okay, Kamala.
All right, let me finish off talking then. Let me finish talking.
I'm quiet. You ain't saying that no more.
Well, Bart, I lost my train of thought because you keep interrupting me. All I'm saying is I paid you your money. When I lost the bet, I said, okay, Bart, cut me some slack. I'm not going to give you my Bentley, but what can we do? You said donate to my foundation, and I gave the money to your foundation.
But it wasn't in a
did
month.
That, hold on. Did that
it
not
wasn't
happen?
In a
did that
yes.
not happen that way?
Chris, but it wasn't
did,
in a
hold
month.
Hold on. Did it not happen that way?
Chris, it wasn't in a month.
Come on, bro. Did it not happen that way?
You gave me a check. It wasn't in a month, brother.
Okay, all right.
So what I'm saying is I'm going to give you your money, brother. I just ain't had time to get it to you.
All right.
Listen, if I owe you, you're never broke, baby. Trust me, we down like four flats. Don't let DiPietro and them dudes come in between us. We tighter than that. You know that.
I don't know about all
you
that.
You let them slander my name every day about this money. I'm getting calls on DMs from people about my smutty.
That ain't me. You do that on your own.
No, man. You don't let them come in between us, man. That's how they do. They separate us, man.
Don't blame
us.
No,
listen, we cool, but your takes are coming in between us. Because they're just absolutely ridiculous.
Listen,
like,
man.
This whole
listen,
Bill Belichick
listen.
Is a terrible talent.
Listen, the rating just went. Bro, the rating just went up. We good. you hear them laughing in the back. The ratings are good. The drivers riding in New York in the metropolitan area are excited. They're having fun right now, man. We making people happy. And that's the whole point.
You better Bart, put some cheese on this taco, Bart. You better put some cheese on Canty's taco. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, I'm going to give him some pico de gallo, too. It ain't just going to be no cheese. I'm going to give him pico de gallo with some sour cream.
Oh, my God. Bart, we appreciate you. We will talk to you.
It's going
to
be the highest rated section of the show. I'll holler at
you. Highest rated. We don't doubt it. We'll look at the numbers when they come out.
I love
out.
You like a play cousin.
Yes. Bart, we'll talk to you, man. We'll look forward to you at 11 o'clock this morning. All right. Let's settle down. That was very emotional. Today on ESPN Daily, Steelers legend Rocky Blyer served in the Vietnam War before he won four Super Bowl rings. Hear how he recovered from combat injury and his emotional return to the battlefield on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Let's bring him in. The great, the talented, the wonderful Dan Graziano. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm good, but you guys, I'm sitting there like at 10:30 on Monday night thinking, when these guys call me Wednesday, we're going to be talking about two New York teams won the game in the same weekend. And then it only was one.
Yeah, no, that got ripped away in typical Jets fashion with four plays on the offensive side in the fourth quarter. But what I wanted to ask you, Dan, and I don't know if you've heard about this, Bart Scott, I think he started this, and now there's maybe legs to it, maybe not, I don't know, about Bill Belichick maybe possibly leaving New England and taking some kind of an executive GM president kind of role with the Giants. Is there any way that you think that that's possible, or is that just pipe dream? Let's not have that discussion.
I haven't heard it, right? I don't know if Bart has sources or if he's speculating. I did hear that he said that on air this morning. So no, I haven't heard that. I mean, look, not many people know Bill Belichick's mind, and those that do don't spend a lot of time talking to me about it. So the outside speculation that I've heard has been that Belichick wants to pass Don Shula for most wins all time, which would mean he'd have to coach a while, especially if he keeps having teams like the one he has now.
So, Dan, let me ask you, because I'll let the other guys ask Jets questions. It makes me sick to even talk about the Jets at this point, but what in your mind, what do you think Bill Belichick does at the quarterback position? It doesn't feel like Cam Newton's the long-term solution.
No, it doesn't. And I think, you know, I mean, look, they have half a year to go, but no, it doesn't. Look, they haven't given up on Stidham, but obviously they're not always sold on him either. So, you know, he was a late-round pick that they figured maybe if he hits, we're in good shape. There could be some options. I mean, you're going to be able to get the Jimmy Garoppolo is probably going to be available, and obviously he knows him very well. I mean, there are going to be names out there of guys you can get either in trade or because they get cut. And you know, I think it'll be, I mean, what if Dallas ends up with the one pick and now all of a sudden Dak Prescott's a free agent? Do you check that out? Like, what if, I don't know if the Jets are going to trade you Sam Darnold in the division, but, I mean, you know, maybe somebody like that. Maybe you think you can take a shot on Dwayne Haskins. One thing we know about Belichick is that he will consider all of the options, right, and possibly bring in a couple and decide which one's the best based on that. That's basically what he did this year, right? I mean, on a smaller scale.
Yep.
Dan, let's lock in on the New York Jets. I'm reading this great article that you have on our .com site about the QB Confidence Index, and you said it's not outside of the realm of possibility that even if the Jets end up with the number one pick, that Sam Darnold comes back in 2021. I guess it all contingent on the trade market. What do you think that will be for Sam Darnold going into the offseason?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to get a first-round pick for him because, you know, he's had 3 years. We've seen him. He's been hurt a little bit, right? He's missed at least three games every year, and his completion percentage is still under 60. I mean, he's still you're still taking a chance on the talent, and whereas 3 years ago that was worth, what, the third pick in the draft and more, actually, because they did the trade-up, I don't think that holds up as time goes on. So, I mean, if you get multiple teams interested, could you get a second-round pick plus? Could you? I mean, that's probably the best you can do. But, yeah, once they if they pick first and they're going to take Barnes and everybody knows it, it's going to be a lot harder to trade Darnold now that everybody knows you have to. But the point I was making was they really don't have to, because it's not like he's not killing your salary cap. At his salary, you can keep him around as a backup or a trade chip at the deadline if you don't like what people are offering in the offseason. So I think he's got $4.5 million coming next year, and that's certainly manageable.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You put this article up on ESPN.com about teams that are, I guess, most desperate for a quarterback. Giants check in at 11. Is this an audition over the next 7 games for Daniel Jones? Like, do you think the future of Jones and the Giants is determined over what he does the remainder of this season?
I think to some extent, yes. And the article that went up this morning was basically like ranking the NFL teams in order of how likely they would be to draft a quarterback early in the draft, right? So it depends. Like, some of them don't have first-round picks. Some of them have prohibitive contracts for their starters. You know, some of them have Patrick Mahomes. You know, those teams aren't going to do it. But a team like the Giants, I think a lot would have to happen. Now, at 2 wins, they probably, at this point, given how committed the Jets and Jaguars seem to the pursuit, it's unlikely the Giants end up with the 1 pick. But if they were to sit in that spot, or say the 2 spot, and they were to believe that Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields was the better long-term answer at quarterback than Daniel Jones, then it's not out of the question that a coaching staff that was not there when he was drafted and possibly a new GM would make the decision to move on. It would be kind of closer to the Kyler Murray situation from a couple of years ago when they moved on from Josh Rosen after 1 year. Now, you know, if the Giants end up with the 1 or 2 pick, I think we can presume that Daniel Jones has not had a strong second half of the season, right? He's probably still turning the ball over. So it all kind of works hand in hand. But I know the coaching staff likes Jones, but they definitely have, concerns, as anybody would, about the turnover issues and the ability to get that under control. So it depends on where they pick, how Jones plays between now and then, I guess maybe who the GM ends up being.
Dan Graziano joins us on the show. Dan, that's the question I want to ask you. Dave and Chris are both done with Dave Gettleman. So let's just assume that the Giants do move off of Dave Gettleman. Do you think the new GM of this team ends up being someone that's already in-house, or do they go outside and maybe pair Joe Judge with someone that he's familiar with?
This is the critical question for the Giants if they decide to move on from Dave Gettleman. Do you go the Giant way, right, and keep it in-house and bring in promote somebody or bring in somebody from the outside that knows how it works there and keep that sort of separation of powers between GM and head coach as they always, always, always have there? Or do you look around at situations around the league where the coach and the GM are married up together and see where that's working in places like San Francisco and Buffalo, et cetera? And if you want to do that, then, yeah, you got to find out who Joe Judge's guy would be. That's going to require you to have an awful lot of faith in Joe Judge, which, I mean, obviously they had enough faith to hire him. And I think, you know, the early reviews on him are good. He doesn't have much of a roster to work with, but I think it seems pretty clear that his team is playing hard for him. And there seems to be some buy-in, you know, maybe an exception or two here and there. But I think, you know, going forward, if they decide Joe Judge is the most important figure in the organization, then and he has input on who the GM is, that's a structure that would be different for them. But different is probably worth trying for the Giants at this point, because trying to do the same thing over and over again lately isn't working.
Dan, going around the league a little bit, the Dolphins and the Bills, both impressive wins this weekend. I know it's only a 2-game sample size for Tua, but based on how this Dolphins team is playing, is it outside of the realm of possibility for them to be competing for the AFC East title?
Not at all. They are definitely a contender for the AFC East title. And look, they're playing extremely well. Their defense is playing extremely well. I think what we saw from Tua in his first start was he didn't really have to do anything because they were scoring on defense and punt returns. And then I think, you know, going toe-to-toe with Kyler Murray, who's playing an extremely high level on Sunday, that was impressive. We saw a lot from him. So I don't think the switch from Fitzpatrick to Tua worsens their chances. And as great as Buffalo looked amazing on Sunday, I was at that game, they took Seattle apart. Their upcoming schedule, like if you compare the next 4 games for both of those teams, it's tougher for Buffalo. I mean, it looks like it. Obviously, we don't, but the opponents appear to be tougher on Buffalo's side. So if Miami takes advantage of that and narrows the gap, you know, they play each other in week 17, And Buffalo beat them by, I think, a field goal earlier this year. So, no, I think Miami's a completely legitimate playoff contender and an AFC East Division contender if Buffalo slips up and shows some inconsistencies. Buffalo deserves to be the favorite, but don't rule out the Dolphins at all.
All right, Dan, listen, we appreciate it. Wish we could do a couple more minutes. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend, and stay safe and stay healthy, as always.
Same to you guys. Thank you.
You got it. That, of course, is Dan Graziano. We want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app. Or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. The Michael K. Show's 2020 contest continues today at 3. The K. Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do is recognize their voice. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away a Yeti backpack cooler. It's the 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, The Bartesian, Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. And without any further ado...
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Hump Day Edition of Knobservations. David, quickly, live look at the weather, please.
It's awful. 2 o'clock on, it's going to rain. Stay inside. If you go out, make sure you wear something that can absorb the rain. It's not going to be nice today.
A little moist, isn't it?
No, very
moist. Humid.
Yeah, humid, not nice, not the day you want to be spending outside.
Yeah, don't love it. All right, here we go. Let's get started with a Major League Baseball story before we get to Did It Happen in Florida. Chicago White Sox manager Tony La Russa, 76-year-old Tony La Russa, was charged in late October with a DUI. This is in Arizona. He had previously pled guilty to a misdemeanor DUI in Florida in 2007. After initial reports, we're starting to get some details of what actually happened during the arrest. Sounds like it's fresh out of the Dave Rothenberg playbook.
No.
You know who I am.
Don't lump me into that.
So he wasn't really very responsive to the officer. Was, you know, continued to be on his phone with AAA. Then the officer asked for his license. He took his money and cards and just threw them out of his pocket into the car. Finally got to his license. Ends up taking a breathalyzer. Then he goes on to say, before the arresting officer placed him in the vehicle, La Russa said, "Do you see my ring?" When asked what he meant, La Russa said, "I'm a Hall of Famer baseball person. I'm legit. I'm a Hall of Famer, brother. You're trying to embarrass me."
What an awful story. I mean, could you possibly like Tony La Russa less after hearing this story?
Probably not.
He's basically saying, "I'm better than anybody. Let me walk, no matter what I've done wrong."
Yeah, this was. Ugh. Please recognize who I am and let me off.
Ugh. And by the way,
yeah, but if you got to get to that point, though, you know it's probably not going to go your way. So why even say it to start with?
Yeah, that's
like, we know the rules have been different in certain circumstances when it comes to celebrities and when it comes to winners. Like, that's just what it is. But like, if you're Tony La Russa, like, at the point where he's putting you in the car, you realize doesn't matter what you're going to say, you're probably going to end up in jail. So just
take
the L. At that point, just take the L.
Bad, bad, bad. All right, give us the Did It Happen in Florida.
Did It Happen in Florida? I like the story a lot. A boozed up woman stripped off her pants on a flight, I can't tell you where, and took a swing at a flight attendant, forcing the plane to be diverted and land where it was not supposed to land. 24-year-old woman was drunk and threw up on herself aboard the flight, prompting her to take off her pants, and then got into an altercation with another female passenger. When the flight attendant tried to intervene, the woman took a swing at her. Plane landed where the woman got out of the plane in a T-shirt and her underwear, intoxicated and allegedly yelling obscenities.
All right, I'm just going to quickly say, because we don't have a ton of time, not Florida. If any part of this is Florida, I'd be surprised. I'm going to say they were not departing from Florida, nor were they landing in Florida.
I don't think this was Florida, and I don't even think this was in America.
Oh, no, this has to be America.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm leaning to not departing, not arriving, but definitely in America, not Florida.
This is the first in a long time. I want to – Rick finally wins. This was departing from Jacksonville.
Wow.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes, baby. At the land in Mobile, Alabama. And there you go, boys. That is a hump day edition because you always cut my segment of observations.
Well, well done. I blame Bart Scott and Dan Graziano, but I'll take the blame. It doesn't really matter.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.